Shot.
Let's go.
More the Welcome to the League of Dreaming.
Hello and welcome to episode 423 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm your host, Nick King Cooper. Joining me, Aiden Frost Rock Arts.
Heyo, what's good?
And Colton Blue Basket Sweat.
Hey, how's it going, man? You're back.
Good. I am back. So before we get into our weeks or my 2 weeks, we're going to have a little bit of LeagueCast news, a tiny, tiny amount of Rising news. We've got a little bit of a new guaranteed guffaw for you guys that we're going to be doing, which I'm so excited about.
And I think we're all really hyped for it.
Yeah. A little bit of LCS news, roundtable, and we're gonna round it out with some emails. So I guess we'll start with weeks. Aiden, how was your week?
My week was good. I didn't play as much this week. I have a big assignment due on Friday, so I've been doing the classic. So I don't allow myself to have fun when I have a big assignment, because like if I have fun, then I won't get the assignment done, right? So what I usually do when I'm trying to get the assignment done, I'm not allowed to fun. I just sit there and have no fun, and don't get the assignment done. So I like don't get to have fun, and I also don't get to get my shit done. So I'm still working on that assignment. I finally got a little bit of the grind on today. Finally started spinning my wheels. So hopefully I'll get to play some League of Legends this weekend. Other than that, just been playing Pokemon Mystery Dungeon. I got that a couple weeks ago, and the game is super sick. It's like a kind of a remake of the first Mystery Dungeon games, but the art style is like the super cool like watercolor art style, and it's been awesome so far. I really enjoy that game. A lot of it's nostalgia that I enjoy about it, but it's a lot of fun. Other than that, I don't think I've really done too much. I know Kennedy and I are going to start watching through Ruby, which is going to be fun.
Oh yeah.
I convinced her to watch it, and I said, you're gonna not hate it. It's my pitch. I'm excited though, because I haven't watched through the first like couple seasons in like, I don't know, years, probably since they came out. And those first couple seasons look like shit.
Yeah, I remember when it came out, and I was really hyped because the like preview before it came out was super hype.
Yeah.
And then I tried watching like the first three episodes, and I was like, this is bad. I never
it's
touched
not
it
again. Good. And there's seven seasons of it. The good thing is the first season's only like an hour and a half, so like it's pretty easy to get
there.
And the second season is like 2 hours, like whereas like the newer season that I think it just finished is like closer to four. So it's pretty easy to get through the first couple seasons. So I think we're gonna have fun watching that though. What about you, Colton?
Well, to transition from you, I just started watching a new anime that I think there's only one season of right now, called Bofuri, or it's a isekai. Well, not even an isekai. It's just a like VR MMO. And the premise is that this character, like, doesn't really know what she's doing, and she just maxes out defense like crazy and basically becomes unkillable. And so it's just, like, this, like, cute little girl, and she's just like, oh, wow, my defense is nuts high. I guess everyone who's trying to kill me just isn't working. That's funny. So I'm three episodes into that, and it seems interesting so far. I also really like that, like, episode one was, like, her first time in the game, like, figuring things out. Episode 2, she goes into a tournament, and because she had rare gear, like, was nutty successful, even though she was pretty low level. Episode 3, they patch the game to make her less broken, and I'm like, most realistic shit I've ever seen.
That's pretty funny, actually.
Like, when was the last time you saw a VR MMO game? Like, so it talks about the skills in reasonable depth, which I like, because I'm, you know, I'm a game person, and I like digging into the mechanics of things.
You can just say nerd. That's right.
I mean, yeah, I'm a huge fucking nerd. And I love that it was just like, we patched some shit because this was busted. I'm like, there you go. That's what I want to see. That's the realistic shit.
How many episodes in until they kill that girl off with AIDS?
I don't know. I don't know, Nick. I'm three
online.
Episodes in, and I'm enjoying it.
The old sword art. The Sword Art special.
That being said, just like about anime, you guys have to watch the Konosuba movie. It went up on Crunchyroll today, so I watched it in theaters.
Ooh.
And it's really, really good. I'd recommend it.
Do you have any free trials to send to Nick?
Yeah, I probably do.
Hey, I have a separate website I'm watching anime on right now.
Ooh. Hey, that's you can't say that.
Yeah.
You mean the High Dive or Netflix or Amazon Prime?
Yeah.
Ooh. Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Besides that, let's see. Last Wednesday, I didn't go to work because I had like a little bit of a cold. And due to all of the pandemic stuff that's happening, they were like, don't come back for a week. So
I thought you said 2 weeks.
No, it was one.
Okay.
So I had basically a week of paid vacation that I stayed home and watched a bunch of stuff on like Netflix and Amazon Prime, played a whole bunch of TFT, some ranked games as well. I think I'm up to like gold 2 in TFT.
I thought you were going to say solo queue.
Yeah, I dropped 4 divisions.
All the way up to gold 2.
All the way up. I broke up through Challenger, down to Iron, and back up to gold again. It was a wild week. I've been playing a lot of Zach. My Zach stats are actually insane right now.
Zach's a good champ.
He's gross. I think I'm at 83% win rate and like a 6 KDA.
How many games?
I think I'm 5-1 on him.
Nice.
And I average, I think it's like 3-3-12 or something, or like 2-2-12.
Mm-hmm. That's a Zach score.
But it's been fun. Aside from that, still a little Slay the Spire. That's always a good time. I think that that's for the most part my week, so I'll hand it over to Nick, the slightly less wise Cooper.
Mm-hmm. So last week I had my wisdom teeth removed, and
how are your mouth holes?
They're still sore, like occasionally. They were pretty bad today, but it hadn't been bad in a while. So I had it removed last Tuesday. Last Wednesday was the last show, and I was still bleeding at that point. So that was not good. But otherwise it was good. I got a couple days off of work, recovered, went back. I'm going to be trying to work from home because it's kind of ridiculous, but that's all right. I've been playing Devil May Cry 5. The game is sick. V, I think, is the coolest like character that I've ever played in a video game. His play style is so sick and I love it. I've played so much RuneScape this week, boys. It's 2007 all over again. I got my fire cape for the first time. That's pog as hell. Shut up, Aiden. You're gonna go play MapleStory in 2 weeks.
I'm not, because it's all.
Remember when you were calling me a nerd like 3 minutes ago?
Yeah.
Nah, old school RuneScape is for Chads like me, Alpha Chads. So that's kind of cool. That's where I'm at.
Should call you Zezima.
But yeah, I mean that's pretty much it. Back to the school grind, I suppose. It's all online and trash, so that's fun. Well, we have this, like, this is the biggest semester, it's my last semester in school, and we have this huge, like, oh, this is the final class, like, the cornerstone project, create a business plan for a local business that they'll follow, and you'll cover every single aspect of their business, like, from marketing to the services they provide to efficiency, like, everything, and now we have to do it while this business is closed and while we can't meet with the owners, so, Pog. Just sucks wiener. But I'm hoping he's pretty lenient with the grades because none of us can actually get any work done.
Yeah.
So, that's pretty much it. I've also been watching someone play Doom Eternal. That game looks sick.
Mm-hmm.
That game looks crazy good. So, yeah, that's pretty much it for me. So let's get on with the show. We have one new patron, Molly. Thank you, Molly, for your support. So let's talk about LeagueCast news. Aiden, you want to run us through this?
Yeah, just basic like stuff. We released episode 3 of our patron show, Zed Talks, LeagueCast Fixes Champions. We talked about all the C characters. It was a lot of fun. That goes up on our YouTube channel sometime early next month. We'll be recording our 4th episode for all the D characters early next month as well. Other than that, we're doing all of our OP.GGs in the next couple days. So those will be updated on our spreadsheet if you are a $5 patron. Other than that, we have some other like basic Patreon stuff that we're planning. We still want to do our like JoJo stuff. We have a bunch of fun stuff coming. So join our Patreon. It's a lot of fun. Tier list update for that. I'm probably not going to do a tier list for this like patch because I feel like nothing's really changed. The only difference is like Garen's slightly worse, but he's still like a top tier pick. So I'll probably won't touch on that because that's hasn't changed much, I don't think.
Did you guys include Wukong anywhere?
I haven't yet. Okay. I still feel like he's not that crazy. We'll talk about him next week, like in our like Metakaiser, I think.
Yeah, gotcha. I was just curious. I think he got hot fixed and nerfed, right?
Yeah, they nerfed like his armor and stuff like that, I think.
Yeah.
And his E damage. Cool.
Awesome. As for league news, there is an extra Clash tournament this weekend. I guess in an effort to keep people inside and at home. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. I like that. So we'll see.
It's gonna fucking break their server.
Yes, for sure.
Like their fucking like match history client has been down for like the entire pandemic so far. And
really, like you can't look at match history right now?
I mean, like half the time you can't. Like it just doesn't load sometimes. And it's been, it breaks op.gg like every couple hours, which is cool.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's good news. And also like EUS is like having like everyone has like 150 ping all the time because like some people are using the server. So I just feel like it's probably not going to go well, but I hope they manage.
Probably not. Yeah. And then the only other piece of news that we have is Riot put out a little PR statement about the number of tokens from events that you that you'll be receiving. Essentially, it's going to take you longer to earn the prestige skin because they wanted more people to have more time with their family and less playing, like less time having to be on League of Legends to get the prestige skin over the holidays. But now that that everyone's sort of back to normal, I suppose, they're bumping up the number of games per day on average you're going to need to get the prestige skin for every event pass. We were talking about this before the show. I think like the way they worded it is not good. It's not the worst. I definitely think they could worded it worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't exactly know how to say this, like how to put it better, I guess.
I just like, so they like went into a, like a whole spiel in the middle of their post that they talk about how it should be something that's earned. Which I think there's problems with that because it harps back to like when EA did the Star Wars Battlefield post of like players like in their sense of pride and accomplishment, which I think that's the problem with that whole post. I think they could have easily made it like a little blurb like, hey, during the holidays, we made it easier. We made it, it used to take about four games. Like you'd have to play about four games a day to get like enough prestige points, but we lowered it to like 1.5. So we're going to bump that back up because we're out of the holidays. But we realized our original numbers was too high, so we're going to keep it at, like, 2.5. And that's all you have to say. Like, I think throwing in the shit about, like, we want people to earn it and, like, feel like they've earned it and stuff like that, I feel like that's... It leaves flavor that people on Reddit hate.
Yeah, that's I was going to say, I don't really have an issue with that stance of... this is meant to be exclusive and you're meant to have to work for it. Like, I'm okay with that model, but I definitely think that that's something that can be very divisive. There are people that strongly disagree with that. And I think particularly on Reddit, you're going to see a big disagreement with that sentiment. But I also definitely agree that, like, they could just say as easily, like, hey, we're adjusting this to make it, you know, more representative of what we want it to be. To me, the idea that it was less during the holidays doesn't make any sense because it's like, oh, it's the holidays. You have way more time to play League. Let's require you to play less games. In my head, that's how that works. Like, I get they're like, spend time with your family, but if you're a gamer like me, you know, capital G gamer, you avoid your family to play video games, and holidays is when you get to do that even more. Anyway, but you know, I agree. If they just had been like, hey, we're, you know, used to be way higher, we lowered it, we're bringing it into the middle, that's how it is, I think that would get less backlash. Though again, I don't have any issue with them being like, hey, these are supposed to be rare and you have to work for them.
Did they even mention that it was easier to get it during the holidays?
Yeah, because people were complaining that they didn't want to buy the pass because they wouldn't have enough time because everyone's traveling. So they're like, we're going to lower it. They like lowered it by like more than half.
Yeah.
Which was cool, which was super, super cool of them to do. And I think them keeping it at that doesn't make any sense. So even like them raising it back to regular would have been fine. But I think they realized that the regular was a little bit too much. Like demanding four games a day is like a little bit too much even from like the hardcore grinders. So I feel like putting it in the middle is like a good place to be.
Yeah, I think so too. Cool. That's kind of all the news we have.
Yeah.
So let's get into our guaranteed guffaw that we, I guess, that Aiden has developed for us. Aiden, why don't you guide us through this? This is your little puppy.
So I was listening to a stream, and I was listening to a stream, and someone said, "Oh, that's Pog," and then someone said, "Oh no, that's Dog," and I said, "Holy fuck, we came up with a new roundtable section." So our new guaranteed guffaw is called Pog or Dog. And it's going to be a section that, one of the three of us, like whenever we like want to do this, one of the three of us will come up with a pitch idea, a concept. This week it is create a new tank item. And then we all have time.
Give me credit, Aiden. I came up with it.
Yeah, you did come up with it. I think my pitch was like, just like cheese pick and shit like that. But your pitch was good. Like come up with a new tank item. And then the three of us get time. We come up with our new, whatever the pitch is, and then we pitch it on the show, and we either say Pog or Dog. We pass it, or we say, nah, that's trash. This week we're doing a new tank item. So all three of us have taken tons of hours, like 80-hour work weeks.
Definitely.
Hell yeah. Lots of development, extensive playtesting on the beta.
Mm-hmm, cool. Mm-hmm. Who wants to start with your new tank item to release to the game?
Okay, so I have three.
What? Hey, that's not one, bud.
I know. So I'll start with my first one, and then after your two, I'll quickly go through my other ones.
Okay, this is gonna be a real pitch then, right? This is like,
this is my.
You go to a business meeting with three things, they're gonna be like, nah, we want one. We want your best one. We want your best one right now, Colton.
Okay, so my best one.
Wait, do we want the best one right now, or do we want the worst?
We want the best one right now, and then we'll do like the other best ones after.
Okay.
So my best one. This is my most developed with actual numbers. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it builds. It includes a new component, and then a new like finished item.
Okay.
So the component would build out of a ruby crystal, a cloth armor, and then an 800 gold combined cost. So that's a total of 1500 gold.
Okay.
And that builds into a Demacian Ringmail, which gives you 250 health, 20 armor, and a unique passive called Unyielding Defense, which reduces auto attack damage by 10 just flat. So it's like a true defense, okay. Kind of like a Mumui. And then if you add a Giant's Belt and 500 gold, it'll turn into Vanguard's Will, which is 650 health, 40 armor, and the flat reduction to auto attacks is up to 25 flat.
Ooh.
So overall, it's, I think, a 3,000 cost item, and again, 1,500 to get that first component, the Demacian Ringmail. So again, it's kind of like a Spectre's Cowl for physical, but I like the idea that it would be particularly good against, like, bruisers and against tanks who aren't building enough AD to really get over that flat reduction.
Mm-hmm.
But the 80 carries who are going to have much higher numbers and critical strikes, are going to still be able to shred through those tanks.
Hmm. I like that a lot. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's actually super sick. Yeah. I'm glad you made like a new component too. Cause I feel like the problem I was having was making like figuring out what components to use for.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that like middle of the road component for armor doesn't really exist, because it's like you have Giant's Belt and chain vest for like all of the armor items, or like a Warden's Mail. Mm-hmm. And Warden's Mail only is good against like some characters, whereas this would be like anyone who's auto attacking you. And again, mm-hmm. someone who's rushing like a nuts attack speed build, you could build this as maybe an alternative to building like the Randuins if they aren't going crit.
Yeah.
That's actually so sick.
So are we calling it Pog?
Did I
get the Pog seal?
That's pretty Pog, yeah. Pog.
I think it's pretty all Pog.
Right. Hell yeah.
Aiden, all you right. want to go or you want me to?
Aiden.
I'm fine with either. If you're ready, then go for it.
All right, I'll go. So my favorite, I kind of hated coming up with the components and the cost. Mm-hmm. So I have components and I have cost, but I'm not like set on that.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to come up with something that's just fucking wild, all right? So I came up with Plate Body of the Paradigm. This builds from the broken stopwatch. It has to be broken. Cloth armor, null magic mantle, and giant's belt. So I didn't put any stats on it, but I put, like, what you build it into, I guess.
I like it has the a idea of, like, if like, you're, like, out of gold to buy it, so you have to buy a stopwatch and break it.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'll give you my thought process afterwards, although okay. I'm sure maybe you can draw from it.
I love the idea that, like, somebody would buy this or get ready to buy it, blow the stopwatch in fountain, and someone on their team, regardless, would flame them every game.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, you wasted stopwatch. It's like, yeah, I had to get my tier 3 item.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do broken stopwatch, like, for sure. And maybe you'll see why or see the comparison. So it has a unique passive, or I guess active. Yeah, it'd be a unique active called Paradigm Shift. For the next 2 seconds, you convert all armor to bonus attack damage and all magic resist to bonus ability power. You cannot purchase it if you have Gargoyle Stone Plate in your inventory and vice versa. So you can't cheese it by building one before the other or whatever.
Yeah.
The conversion has a ratio. It's not 1-to-1. So you can't, like, okay. 1300 AD is Malphite, right? That's not happening. But I wanted to have, like, something that was, like, the opposite of Gargoyles, where instead of being real tanky and doing no damage, you're real squishy and do the most damage.
That's sick.
I don't know if it's a good tank item, but...
I think it's a POG item. I do not think it's a POG tank item.
No, I don't think so either.
What do we do? Make our tank even squishier.
It's like if your item was a thing in real life, well, not in real life because it's not real life. It's like how I used to imagine sharks, how sharks like had the really like sharp scales, like that would cut you really easily. That's how I imagine your item to look. It's like my fictitious shark scales that are really just cut.
True, but you can also like punch it in the nose and kill it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
All right, so theory, all right? I get this item against Trundle every time, and I trick him into ulting me right after I cast it, and I just don't have any armor anymore.
That's smart. So and then he just kills you because it's Trundle.
That's a pretty cool
item. No, but
item,
I have though. So much AD.
Yeah, I was thinking like, all right, so I don't know if it's balanced for League, but whatever, that's not my job.
Yeah.
I'm certainly teeing out here, you know? I'm certainly T-posing. Like, all right, I'm playing Scion. I'm about to die. All right, fuck it. I'm just going to do a billion damage. Like, you think that would be so sick?
That'd be pretty fun, yeah.
That's all Pog. Right.
Pog or dog?
Pog.
Pog.
Hell yeah.
Wouldn't work in the game. Dog in the game, but Pog idea.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But I'm not balancing this for the game.
Don't worry. No, mine's similar. I have a mechanic that was removed from the game in my items.
Nice. Can we guess?
Yes.
Convert HP to attack damage.
No.
Oh, okay.
This is
when you cast
shit.
Spells, you get like mana and health back.
Kind of, but not really. Okay. So the item that I came up with is called the Jeweled Ring of Mount Mana Suckle.
Hell yeah, dude.
I also drew a picture of it. So when you actually like, this, okay. Just like to.
Whoa! Is that the item artwork?
Yeah, no, the item artwork's like that, but on a ring, because it's like a little ring.
Okay.
So anyway, nice. I'll go through it really quick. So it's made of a giant's belt, a catalyst, and a stopwatch. So it has a 150 combined cost. So it's a 2,900 gold item, very expensive. And the stats, it gives you a 700 HP, 500 mana, plus it's active. And it's active is you summon a magical pillar that saps mana from enemies in range up to 10% of their total mana. It saps it at 2%, like a tick. Up to like 5 ticks. And then the mana is given back to the user of the item. So if you hit it on all 5 units and they all sit in it, you can get 50% of all the total mana. So it's like gross. So you use this on mana casters. Not very gold.
That's almost as broken as Kassadin W.
And so my idea for the item is it's like a ring that your character wears and it's like magical. So like you summon it off your ring. It's like a little mountain on your ring, but like it grows big and like fucking sits on the field and like just saps mana from people. And that's the Mount Mana Suckle item.
Okay, is nice. It? So the name is Pog, like straight off the bat, right?
Yeah.
Top tier.
Is it terrain? Like, can you block something?
Yeah,
it's
like
it,
a Trundle
is it
pillar,
like,
kind
passable?
Of.
Okay, so if I purchase this on Trundle, I could have 2 chodes.
Yeah, 2 chodes. One of them looks like a magic chode. That's why it's blue in the picture, because blue is the magic color. And it also has lightning around it. It also has, like, runes on it, so those are all, like, magical things.
And a big smiley sun.
Yeah. That's just that's
and
what
the
actually hair looks like, though.
Actually, I saw this on a little forum, like, from 2015. Mm-hmm. If you look in the runes, it actually spells out sex, and Riot doesn't want you to know that.
Yeah, that's like, you can't say that, or else our rating in China is going to be fucked.
Mm-hmm. But it's there, hidden in the runes.
Anyways, I think it's a cool idea to have an item that creates fucking terrain. So, like, that's the cool, was the concept. And then I'm like, you know what would also be cool? If we brought back Mana Drain.
Yeah.
Mana Drain is cancer, but I think it has a place.
I don't, so this Mana Drain would only really be good against people who are low mana, because it's based off your total mana, was the idea. Mm-hmm. So, like, you can just drop it into team if, like, they're low mana, it just fucking wrecks them. I love the idea of, like, terrain being Mana Drain, though. So, like, something you can, like, walk away from.
Mm-hmm. That'd be sick. And there's no, like, slow attached to it or anything.
No,
right?
No. It's just, like, the same, like, the size, like, Mana Drain Circles, Trundle Pillar, but instead of a slow, it's just, like, Mana Drain.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I like that. And I think that it'd be very niche, but in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's, like, you'd see it maybe, like, one in, like, 10 games, but that one game would be real good.
So, wait a minute. Question.
Yeah.
How many people on the team can buy it and use it at the same time to suck everyone's mana?
Everyone.
Okay. So one champion
sounds like
can
our Aram comp is built.
So one champion can be affected by multiple mana suckles. Oh, okay.
And this if you time it properly, you can make like a pentagon around them, so they definitely get the 10% drain.
Just pin them in.
Yeah, this item's fog. This item's busted in fog.
Nutty. Okay.
Wait, I had one more question. I can't remember. Oh. This item is like fucking overstatted to hell, dude.
It's not that overstatted. It's 87% gold efficient.
Really?
Because it didn't have like.
Most of it's mana. Yeah,
it's health and mana.
650 of it is stopwatch, which gives zero stats, right?
Yeah. That just feels like so much HP.
It is a lot of HP. 700.
Yeah. But Warmogs is even more.
Yeah, Warmogs 800. Yeah.
But Warmogs is like intended to be a full HP item.
Yeah, I know. Remember when Warmogs used to give like 1400 health?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's sick as hell.
All right. Can I pitch my second item, Nick?
Yeah. Go
hell
pitch
yeah,
your second
dude.
Item.
All right, Nick, you're going to love this item. This is this item is called the Wrath of Zaun, all right?
Okay.
And it's got 500. I'm going to just kind of give like the high level overview of like the final thing. Okay, so it gives 550 health, 280 mana, 33 armor and 32 magic resist. I had to stat it out so it was like exactly 85% gold efficient because I wanted it. It's got a lot of passives on it, okay?
Okay.
All right, so it's ultra unique that there can only be one of this item in the game. So if you buy it first, nobody else can have it in the whole game. It's not just unique for you or your team, it's one in the game.
Game, damn.
Yeah, okay. So it's got a passive on it that's like on a timer. So every 6 seconds, your next auto attack will like drag you behind your opponent, deal bonus damage, and heal you. It's got like a flat damage resist where like if you take a bunch of damage, it'll like proc a shield where you get like a flat damage reduction for a short period of time. So kind of like Steric's Gauge, but instead of giving you health and tenacity, it just gives you damage reduction. And then after that damage reduction ends, it's like, look at me, I'm the big beefy tank, and it fears your enemies around you.
Okay.
And then the big thing on it is that it's got like an active, and it's probably going to be like, I think it'd have to be like a minute to like a minute and a half cooldown. And you cast it, and it's a skill shot, and it like launches your character onto an opponent, and it suppresses them for like 2.5 seconds.
That's fucking stupid.
What you've just described is like a 10-year-old's Yu-Gi-Oh monster.
No.
That can just do everything.
What I've described to you is Warwick.
Oh, I'm fucking dumb.
Literally die.
I see.
Yeah, I told Aiden that, and he's like, "Do it. It'll be funny."
You got
I'm glad that you didn't get it, but speed spiked it. I thought it was going to be over when I went with the 33 armor and 32 magic resist. No. And then I kept adding stuff to it. I was like, there can only be one per game. And I'm like, that's perfect because it's a champion. Nice. And it doesn't cost any gold. It just costs 450 fluorescents.
Nice.
You're welcome.
I'm paying attention now.
That was my guaranteed dog item. Mm-hmm. This next one is what I think would be pretty pog. So it's got another new component to it, and I haven't fleshed out the numbers exactly, but I have the premise of the item. So this should be like a magic resist and mana item, so kind of like Frozen Heart, but with magic resist. And so it builds out of probably like mana crystal and a null magic. So again, you get kind of like the Glacial Shroud component, but with MR, and that would make Corrin's Prism. And so it's going to give magic resist, CDR, and then it's going to have a unique passive that converts a percentage of damage that you've mitigated into regen over 10 seconds.
Hmm.
So damage you've reduced via shields or abilities or your armor, your magic resist, etc., is going to be converted to health regen. And then we're going to upgrade that with... Or sorry, no, that's going to make the Tecmaturgy Refractor, because Corrin's Prism is the final item.
Okay.
That's the upgraded item, because that's a cooler name than Tecmaturgy Refractor.
I disagree.
Corrin's Prism is the upgraded item, so you'd probably add more health and magic resist to it. And it basically is going to still have that passive, but you add on an active to it, where it's basically like old Galio ult, where probably for like 4 or 5 seconds, you take reduced damage at a higher rate, and then a percentage of that damage that you tanked like does AoE magic damage around you.
That's pretty sweet. I think that's Pog as well.
That's pretty Pog.
Yeah, and the naming convention, Corrin is the guy that made Orianna.
Ah.
So.
Oh.
Yeah. Crazy scientist.
I thought you were just referencing Fire Emblem Fates.
No, yeah. Corrin is Orianna's dad. So he made this cool magic thing, too.
True.
And then I thought it'd also be kind of funny if they made, like, a mirror shield type item where it's just, like, reflect a spell back at an opponent. But that would also be super dumb.
Can't purchase this on Fiora.
Be insane.
You use it against Sandra Alt and it only reflects the first ball.
Fucking stupid. I hate that interaction so much.
So, Corrin's Prism, Pog or Dog?
Pog.
I think that's pretty Pog, yeah. Did you guys have any ideas for, like, other ideas that you wanted to mention but didn't, like, flesh out into an item, I guess?
I mentioned most of mine.
No, yeah, I just, like, wanted to build something around, like, having, like, terrain that you could summon. I feel like that'd be cool.
Okay.
What about you?
Well, I only had one, and that was, like, I wanted this super cost-efficient, like, item that had, like, health, armor, and MR, but every, I don't know, like, 8 seconds, you would lose the armor or the MR, so you would only get, like the health and the armor for a couple seconds, and then the health and the MR for a couple seconds.
Like
sort of like a pendulum.
Yeah.
Sort of like, okay, this is a super good, like, cheap first item that you're not going to keep for the entire game, mm-hmm. and you could get fucked if you're up against, like, a Riven and you have MR.
Huh. That would be so unhealthy for the game.
I mean, yeah, it would be. It would be. But I for a tank item, I was trying to figure out, like, how a... because so there's this passive in Path of Exile where, like... if you cast a spell, all of your damage will set things on fire, and then all of your damage will freeze, and then all of your damage will shock, and then for like 2 seconds, all of your damage will do all of that. So I wanted to do something like that, like I said, like a pendulum swinging back and forth between, like, all right, I'm really strong right now, I'm really weak right now.
I also think it'd be interesting if they made, like, an item that was pretty cheap, but, like, just didn't have a tier 3 kind of. I guess the best comparison I could think of is, like, old Wriggle's Lantern, where it, like, you would not keep it in a 6-item build, but it's real good for the time being.
Yeah. That was sort of, like, the thing, too. This shirt certainly would not be a final, like, full build item, but would be somewhere between, like, a Doran's Blade and an Infinity Edge, you know? Like, somewhere in the middle. But... yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I liked that. That was sick.
That was a lot of fun.
That was a good section. Yeah.
Do you guys have any suggestions for us for a Pog or Dog section? Any, like, topics? Hit us up. Let us know. Let us know in our Discord. That'd be a lot of fun.
Hell yeah, that would be fun as hell. Cool. So let's move into the LCS section.
Oh, yeah, you're right. LCS.
Yeah. So there was a... oh, I'm sorry. LCS section, aka Fox Loaf's Pro Gath for Pro League News section.
Sorry.
Yeah, do it right.
I'm trying to do that. Aiden will fix that in post. That's fine. So there's a questionnaire survey. What else? Not petition or anything, right? But 2/3 of LCS players, which included both Academy and main roster players, voted to cancel the spring split. I guess the main sentiment was that the split doesn't mean anything. There's not any world's implications on the line. Mm-hmm. And especially with MSI and Rift Tribals not being a thing, that it literally means nothing for now. A lot of them wanted to go home and see family. A lot of LCS's imports. It was sent to Riot, although the spring split's going to continue, right?
Yeah, Riot has decided to continue it. They're hosting their finals online, they've announced. This is just more like the Players Association got together and just wanted to take a vote to get opinion and stuff like that.
So I was reading a little bit about it, and I could not find the questions that were asked, but I saw comments that were alluding to the fact that the questions being proposed to these LCS players were very poorly written.
Mm-hmm.
That it used a lot of language like prefer to, and I guess that's like the only example that like stood out to me, but
mm-hmm.
like I would prefer
or
to,
or just like leading questions as well.
Well, I guess not even leading, but not like a hard yes or no. It was more like 1A, 1B, right? Like, oh, I would prefer to not play in the spring split right now. That's not the same thing as I am voting to cancel the spring split, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, and that there was a lot of this happening in the questionnaire, so maybe this isn't truly accurate of the, like, accurate representation. But then I saw a lot of comments, like, condemning these players. Like, this is a product that you're putting out, and it is your responsibility to promote this and buy into it. Like, did you guys have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, so on a face level, like on like actually at face value, right, if you take this, I think it is super shitty that people who your career is playing in this don't want to play in it because you think it's meaningless, right? Like when 2 years ago the average salary was $300,000 in the LCS, like meaning the median is probably close to that now, right? So I think it's super shitty that, like, especially when what, how many teams go to Worlds? 3, right? And then one team goes to MSI, meaning all you do is play in summer and spring, right? Like, those bottom teams. So not wanting to play in LCS because it's meaningless feels so shitty, especially when, like, I don't know, a huge portion of them aren't going to play in international events anyways. It just feels like... it feels just lazy, I guess. I do think that we have to take way more into consideration. Like, that's just from like a face value perspective. Like, I understand why people are upset that these players don't want to play, right? Well, especially when there are like other talent who like fucking want to give it their all, but they're not getting a chance to, right? That being said, you have to take into the fact that Academy was also pulled. It wasn't just LCS, right? So Academy players might have like less value in this, right? Because their Academy definitely means less than LCS.
Can I jump in, or were you going
to
keep
going? I had a couple more points really quick. And then it's also important to note that like the majority of LCS is imports, right? So when you have a pandemic going on, it is fair to want to go home and like be with your family at a time like this, right? So like I understand any import like wanting to like go do that. I think just the players, like, say if we found out that someone like Doublelift, for example, like said that he wanted to cancel the spring split because he's useless, that would fucking piss me off a little bit. You know what I mean? Like a player who is privileged to play in this league, is on a high class team, and just goes, nah, fuck it. It's not worth anything. Who cares? Like,
he wants to take springs off anyway, regardless.
That's what I mean. Like, that would kind of piss me off. But like, I completely understand for like Academy players and for import players. So like, at face value, I understand why people are mad, at least.
So I don't know. I think that like overall, I agree with the idea that the spring split just doesn't matter.
Yeah,
and I think that's the root of this issue, is that they either need to make spring split matter or change it entirely. And I think that I would love to see if they just did like a monthly or bi-monthly tournament. And again, these teams that are maybe, you know, the 5th, 6th place teams that aren't going to go to Worlds, that aren't going to go to MSI, they can choose to show up or not. They can spend that time developing new talent, trying to get their roster together, figure things out. But then again, like, if a team or a player doesn't want to show up to, like, you know, a circuit tournament, that would be fine. I think that that's the way that I would love to see it. But, like, especially when you brought up the point of academy players, like, they don't really lose anything for not showing up. Mm-hmm. But I feel like those are the players who have, for the most part, like, way more drive to be, like, I want to be playing every game. You know, I need my starting spot. Like, I need to prove myself to make it into LCS. So the fact that even with them included, they're like, nah, none of this matters at all. Like, I take a very different conclusion from that, where, like, the fact that academy players are like, this is dumb, mm-hmm. is just like...
Well, to be fair, I think there's a, like, systematic problem with academy in at least in North America anyway. Very rarely do we see academy players promoted, like, to main rosters, right?
Yeah.
Most it's of academy's usually... fucking washed up, like, LCS players. Like, for the
yeah, 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 which uh-huh. is which is fair, which is fair. Like, but on the other hand, how many of these young guns really get a chance, like, yeah. to play? You know, so I feel like it's not that bad. I don't know. I would love to see, like, more 7 and 8 man rosters for LCS, like, from academy players. But when we just have, like, the same pros rotating different teams and you know, when they're done, they get a check yeah. in academy for a little bit.
Yeah, I guess I meant, like, in academy, like, like, for example, look at Golden Guardians academy team. They have Darshan and they have Huhi. I bet neither of those players give a fuck if they're playing or not. You know what I mean? They're just collecting their paycheck, right? They're not trying to get promoted to the A team. They're just, like, cruising. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And yeah, I think that's a separate issue with academy for sure that I'm not a fan of at all. Like, I would love to see them put, like, a limitation or something of those means of, like, hey, if you're XLCS, you don't play on academy team.
I mean, they put a cap on it, so, like, you can only have 2 players on your team that were that was for imports. Fuck. Yeah, I don't think they've done that for, like, you can't.
Yeah, just... I would love to see that of, like, if you are LCS, like, do it just like the import where it's just, like, you know, you have a maximum number of XLCS players on academy teams, and then after a while it maybe drifts off. But, like, if they are, like, just put them as subs on the roster is what I'd love to see. And then again, if we did, and I know it's not going to happen, but, like, if we had a circuit of tournaments set up where, you know, you could send CLG and it's like, hey, you know, this player, their AT, you know, their top roster starter doesn't really want to go to that tournament. They can try out one of their academy players, or they can say, hey, you know, this tournament, we're going to send mostly our academy squad and see how they do against other LCS teams. Maybe, you know, if it's first place fucking Liquid and they're like, yeah, we're going to send our academy team to this tournament because we're crushing everyone in the split. Like, let's see what they can do.
Yeah,
but again, that's not gonna happen. Either way, I don't know. Like,
it's ugly. Yeah,
it is. Cool. And we mentioned that finals will be played online, so nothing surprising there. Let's move into roundtable then.
Cool. So last week's roundtable question was, what champion would benefit the most from Snowball, the ARAM summoner spell being added as summoner spell on Summoner's Rift, and why? Nick, do you have any answer to that? I feel like it's pretty straightforward, but...
I mean, honestly, any engage tank or champion who wants to engage, so I'm thinking, like, Alistar is probably one of the bigger beneficiaries of that, or a champion like Fiddlesticks, or Nico, someone with that huge, like, AoE yeah. engage ulti and is good on ARAM.
Yeah.
So, I think those would be my three, maybe in that order.
Yeah, I agree with that. Cool. Let's check out what our community said, though. Ryan said, set Snowball into them, rip someone back out. And rip someone back out to focus on. I feel like that would give Set, like, a crazy, like, engage tool. Noah said, imagine the new Lee Sin combos you could pull off. Troy said, Malphite, just point-blank full AP Mountains of Destruction. Jessica said Mordekaiser. There literally would be no escaping Zalt in top lane and in team fights. Just pick your target, Snowball, and remove them from the equation. Nicholas said, Annie, Jeebus, is this even a competition? I like the idea of snowballing, then just Annie comboing someone, like super just like free. From our Discord, Pards Bay said, I think Alistar, you're going to give up Exhaust or Ignite in most cases, and it frees up W to be used better. You can insect someone or disrupt team fights even more. Bally from Cali said, Leona, imagine snowballing QE when they flash and the alt. Yeah, I feel like the main thing is like going to be able to like chase, like, because you can like, keep your mark on them for like, what, 5 seconds, something like that? So I feel like the cool thing is like, they can't really use escapes during that time because you just follow. That's like a really cool thing. And last but not least, Stock Supra said, Nico's engage becomes absolute nuts. Currently with snowball, you can hit enemy, buffer the alt channel, then use the dash part of the snowball, leaving essentially no time for the enemy to react to an instant Nico alt appearing on their team or in their team. Yeah, I feel like that's like one thing. Like fiddle alt in ARAM is crazy because you can snowball into alt.
I think Nico and fiddle definitely have a huge bonus there. I love the idea for the Alistar of just like you always get to Q them and then W them back into your team.
Yeah, it gives you the free troll combo.
It's the Q flash, but easier.
Yeah, just a 40-second cooldown. This week's roundtable question, though, is how would you nerf flash, or should flash be nerfed? Why?
So personally, I don't think flash needs to be nerfed. It's going to be one of those things where, unless it's like a 10-minute cooldown, and then I doubt we'll ever see it get picked ever. It's always going to be mandatory, essentially, which is not necessarily a bad thing. There are certain, you know, mechanics and combos that are built into champions having flash, which I think makes the game more exciting. I mean, we wouldn't get these sick Lee Sin combos with like without flash, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think there is an argument to be made that flash should be removed from the game. I think it is sort of a great equalizer in that every champion has at least one gap close, like, potential ability.
Yeah, everyone's got, like, a gap close or an escape. Like, it gives mobility to everybody.
Yeah, but if you take it away, I mean, then it places a much higher value on mobility and, like, crowd control in general. Which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing. It just changes the way the game's played.
Yeah. My logic for this question, by the way, is I was like looking through like just a bunch of like patch histories, because I have a segment for one of our guaranteed guffaws in a couple weeks where like we're going to run through like some like old abilities and stuff like that, which I think is going to be a lot of fun. But I was like, I thought it was so interesting because flash is by far the best summoner spell, like uncontested, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it hasn't seen a nerf since season 1. And in season 1, like, all of the nerfs were in season 1, by the way, because it, like, originally started as, like, a minute and a half cooldown summoner spell. And then it, like, had, like, 900 range at one point. So, like, it slowly has been, like, pushed down range and pushed up, like, cooldown to where we got, where we're now at, 5-minute cooldown. I think it's, like, 500 range or something like that. The last
and
big
it
nerf
pop
to
projectiles.
It, yeah, so I was going to say the last big nerf to it was back in season 1, you could, like, fizzle projectiles by flashing them. So someone, what's a targeted spell? There's like no targeted spells actually anymore in the game.
Syndra ult, Malphite Q,
Syndra ult,
auto attacks.
So if Syndra ulted you in season 1, you could flash it and then Syndra ult would fizzle. So that was, I think, a bigger deal back then when like a lot more abilities in the game were like actual single target versus like skill shots and stuff like that. Like all the abilities I was trying to think of that I would fizzle are all gone, like Nunu E, Tark stun. Yeah, Scion stun.
That's what I went to right away.
Yeah.
I think the big thing, though, is also auto attacks, where it's just like that last auto attack was coming at you. They start walking away for the fade, and you just flash it, and it pops it.
Yeah. So that was like kind of the last nerf, which I thought was super interesting, as in, like, this is the best summoner spell in the game, uncontested, and it hasn't seen any nerfs in 10 years. What do you think about it, Colton?
I think if I wanted to nerf flash, I could maybe say, like, after you flash, you are slowed for a small amount of time.
Hmm. Okay.
So it's like, you have to really time it well, and it's not just, like, flash and walk at them then. It's like, you need to be in the right position, and you use your flash, but, like, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it really needs to be, because, like, flash is League of Legends, right? Like you said, they haven't changed it since season 1. it's such a core part of the game at this point that I don't think you can really do a lot with it without getting tons of backlash. And like, making a major change to Flash is one of those things that you just put on the list for League of Legends 2, right? Like, fix Vladimir, fix Flash, don't spaghetti code, like, fix Mordekaiser. Like, these are League of Legends 2 problems, I think. Because if you try and change it now, like, it's just such a fundamental piece of the game that people would be way too upset, and it would make it a different game.
Yeah.
That being said, yeah, I think if you made like a small movement speed penalty after you flash, that would be probably fine. Where it's like, hey, you flash into your tower, you're safe now, or you flash to dodge something, but you're a little slower after. Like, that would give it a little bit more risk. But
I think another one of the things that is an issue for Flash, like in general, is that there's not a lot of stuff you can nerf on Flash.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's distance and cooldown, right? Without adding anything to it. And that's it. Like, I don't know. With Ignite, there's like duration, healing reduction, damage, like damage window, like all these things that you can change. And Exhaust is probably even a longer list. But there's not a lot that you can nerf about Flash without it being, I don't know, substantially different than what it was before.
No,
which isn't necessarily a problematic thing. It's just a design like choice at this point.
Yeah, that's kind of what I came down to for my conclusion was, like, I don't think you can nerf it. I mean, you can just, you like, obviously you can just go, it's a 6-minute cooldown now, and it makes it worse. But I don't think people stop taking it for, like, I guess there is a number where people start stop taking it. Like, if you go probably over 8 minutes, you probably stop taking it. But, like, I don't know if that's the right way to ever nerf something like that. I feel like it's so fundamentally, like, the game is designed around it, like with mobility and stuff like that in check, that Colton's completely right. This is a League of Legends 2 problem that you'd come to. Like, if they release League of Legends 2, they probably Flash it either, like, gutted or it's not in the game, I would say.
Or it's just built into every single character, period.
Yeah, every character has a 5-minute Flash.
Yeah, it's one of those things. But I don't think it's a good thing to nerf Flash. I think it's one of the more exciting parts of the game. Like, getting a Flash hook off or something, I don't know, something like that. A Flash Zed combo, some shit.
Yeah.
Like, it makes the game exciting.
It's more likely that they allow every character to have a third summoner spell other than Flash. Like, then probably nerfing it really hard.
Yeah.
Anyways, I thought it was super cool. I just haven't seen anyone discuss Flash, despite how OP it is. So
yeah.
If you want to tell us if you think Flash should be nerfed or how it would be nerfed, you can hit us up on our Facebook page at LeagueCast. Send us an email, mail at leaguecastpodcast.com. Come into our Discord and post in our roundtable section, leaguecastpodcast.com/Discord.
I almost.
Now, can you name any other summoner spells that haven't been changed since season one?
Clarity has, Heal has. Wait, has. Yeah, Heal used to be AoE for everyone. Teleport has, obviously, most recently. Exhaust.
Exhaust has changed recently.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
Ignite, are you saying changed or like nerfed?
Changed.
Ignite okay,
changed.
Gives vision now. It didn't used to.
The damage has also changed at some point.
Yeah. What are the other ones in the game?
What are Smite has changed, right?
Smite's changed for sure. I mean, if you count enchants on it. If not, if you don't count enchants on
and
it.
And the heal. It didn't used to heal you.
Yeah.
When you smited camps.
What spells
are
missing?
I think it started at higher damage before.
Has cleanse changed? Cleanse is the only one I can think of that hasn't changed.
Yes, right? It's the
tenacity
CC reduction afterwards. So there's all the summoner spells have changed.
Barrier
They haven't changed Fortify or Revive since season
one. Okay, cool. Nice.
Has barrier been changed since it's been added?
Memed them.
Yeah, the values.
Yeah, the values have definitely been changed in the cooldown.
That's crazy.
It used to be 220 seconds, I think.
That's actually insane.
It was just...
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's actually insane that Flash, the best summoner spell in the game, is the only one that hasn't been nerfed since season one or changed.
That might be the reason it's the best in the game.
That's actually so fair.
Yeah. I saw a post today that Fiora hasn't gotten nerfed in 7 years?
Yeah, she's gotten, 10 buffs
something
over five
like
years, I think it was.
Yeah, something crazy. Yeah. All right, on to mail fight. We got three emails. The first is from Molly Muscadu. Subject, Poppy is poopy, or is she? Aiden, please, you gotta calm down, okay? I'm relatively new to League, about 2 months, and was recently pressured to try out top lane by my boyfriend after only playing mid and support. Despite his misgivings, I fell in love with Poppy and her kit. I usually kill it in teamfights, but I always lose lane unless I'm going against a Yasuo or Bad Aurelia. I have no idea what to do with tanks, and I always feel like my towers are hanging on for dear life. I don't feed. I usually end up losing tower because I'm constantly being pushed in. I've seen the tricks. I've looked up the runes. I've done everything. I know I could do slightly better than I'm doing with practice, but her kit seems so underwhelming in the current meta, no matter how much I love her. I play her anyway. I have fun, I just don't take her to ranked. I expressed my frustration on several forums, and about half of the people wail in despair with me, while the others say, get good, Poppy is OP, etc. Who's right? What are your opinions? Thanks for enduring my long-winded explanation.
I think I play the most Poppy.
I think so too, and I think you're the most passionate about Poppy.
Yeah, I think Poppy's good, but I think she's only good as a counterpick character currently. There are stuff you can do with Poppy that like a lot of people don't do. Like if you look up Poppy montages, which fuck, why are you looking up tank montages? God damn.
Maokai montage 7.
The only cool play you can do with Poppy is figuring out how her ult works and understanding where people are going to be launched, because you can either launch people backwards into your team if they're on your side of the map, which is like a cool thing, but you have to like completely understand which way they're going to fly because they always fly to the Nexus, or you can hit them and then start running the other way and slam them into a wall when they land if you use flash. But like that's the only mechanic about the character. Other than that, she's so like straightforward, meaning that you can't like outplay certain lanes, right? If you're against a Darius, you just get crushed because there's zero outplay potential. The way you kill a Darius in lane is he dives you and you flash and stun him into your tower, and then you probably still die. But yeah, I think Poppy's like only good as a counterpick character into like shit like Irelia, Yasuo, Riven. Riven's our best matchup in the game. Just these characters that you abuse your ground mechanic. Ever since they added ground onto her W, I think those lanes are unwinnable for the opposing character. So I just like pick her into those things. I don't think she's bad. She just like is very like one-dimensional. Like you only can trade when you have shield up. You have to look for goofy shit like wall slams, which if the enemy player has any brain, they probably don't stand near a wall, meaning you probably have to burn flash to get a wall slam. If you get a wall slam, you probably like fuck them up and it's a super free gank. But man, she's really one-dimensional against certain lanes.
Yeah, I'd say that there's definitely... I think Poppy is in the category of like very stat-reliant characters where like if her numbers are good and her items are good, she's good. Otherwise, she's pretty meh. And that's where she is right now, where again, as a regular pick, really not great. As a counter pick, definitely can work. I think you really need to have strong like laning fundamentals on Poppy to be able to have the wave in a good spot, like at all times, be able to be using your passive auto to hit champions for free poke as opposed to having to use it the last hit. Like those are ways that you're gonna increase your effectiveness on Poppy, but in general I don't think right now she's in a spot where like you can blind pick Poppy every game and expect to do very well.
Yeah, there's like little gimmicky shit like that, like it matters a little bit, but it's not going to change how like it's not going to like make you win lane. Like Colton mentioned, like saving your passive to auto characters, save it to auto characters while you have grasp up.
With
like,
grasp, yeah.
Like, timing that is really important, but it's hard to do, because not only do you have to time grasp, but you also have to time your passive, which means you can't be stacking grasp if your passive's up, because you're going to use it on the minion. So, like...
Yeah, but again, if you're doing that, like, perfectly, it's really good, right?
Yeah, but it's
like if you have the wave, like, frozen, and you're just grasp autoing with your passive every time it's up, like... That's real good, but that's also very difficult, and you need to have, like, nutty wave control.
But it's not, like, lane-changing stuff, though. You know, it's not like if she starts doing this, she, like, becomes a god on Poppy. Like, I think the character still functions the same way regardless.
But I think her design is to have a weak laning phase in a crazy good team fight, right? Mm-hmm. So if you can get that lane even or just not lose that hard, I think she is... at the very least viable at the moment. Like you guys were saying, definitely not blind pickable into every single thing in the game. I think if they pick Gangplank, you lose probably the lane and the game. But, like, yeah, if you pick it into a Fiora or a Riven, it's so free. Plus, you get a better team fighter, and you get to scale so hard. Like, there's a reason people pick Poppy into Jace, even though Jace shits on that lane so hard. Mm-hmm. Like, Poppy's team fighting is nuts. Team fight.
Yeah. I also think that, like, against the current, like, pool of characters in the game, Poppy's actually pretty strong. Like, if you think about some of the best characters in the game right now, Zac, Fizz, Kassadin, Pyke, like, being able to ground any of those characters or block their dash when they come in is huge.
Doesn't work on Kassadin. Yeah.
But it grounds them if they're inside, like, of it, right?
No.
No.
It's a blank.
Only if you block their movement ability.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
The best one to ground in the game is Kai'Sa. That feels so good.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah.
Alternatively, Riven with one of her Qs.
You try to use any ability.
That one feels good. Yeah. I also think she's super good into Sylas, who I've seen get picked up a lot recently.
But there's tons of highly mobile characters with a lot of dashes. So, again, if you see that, counterpick that shit, right? Like, what is a Zac going to do when there's a Poppy in the game? Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, pretty good into tanks. Not just characters with the mobility. If she can just survive the laning phase, there are very few tanks who can out-team fight her.
Yeah.
I really think Maokai may be the only one.
Also, like, I know that you're talking about top, but, like, I haven't tried it yet, but she just received buffs for jungle, and I think her jungle is actually going to be really, really good after those buffs. I haven't tried it. I want to try it, like, maybe tonight or in a couple days.
Yeah. We'll see it tonight. You could probably just go full tank Poppy as well. Like, you don't even need to build damage.
Yeah, with her percentage health damage on Q and then Cinderhulk damage, I mean, she's got enough on her own. Mm-hmm. I think jungle Poppy would be pretty good right now, yeah. I think all tank jungles are pretty decent.
Honestly, and just play what you like to play. That's the only thing that matters.
She's good support, too. There's some good lanes for her support, man.
Pick Poppy into Nautilus or Leona.
Alistar is another good one. Alistar's spooky, because Alistar, it's a quick window where you can, like, hit W to block his W, but if you get it, the character does nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. I honestly think picking it into Rakan might be the most disgusting thing ever.
Yeah, it's good into Shen as well, support. Like, there's some good, like, pick support, and I think Poppy's fun support as well.
Just don't pick her into, like, a mage or an enchantress support.
Yeah.
Yeah, just have a bad day against Syrah. Mm-hmm.
Definitely a counterpick character, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Thanks, Molly.
Yeah. Next email we have here is from Speedy Spikes, the culmination of this poem. I'm going to tab it down the document so that I don't have to break in between.
Okay.
Fills up the whole page anyway. So this is Lost in a Jungle, Part 3, the epic conclusion to our poem. Nick, did you hear Part 2? Did you listen to last week's episode?
I did not, but I did read the email. It was quite good.
That good. That works. Okay. So Lost in a Jungle, Part 3, by Speedy Spikes, who is here in the live recording chat with us right now. This goes out to you, buddy. When I was finally free, I sprinted from there, hearing a boy's laugh echo through the air. This jungle is wild and I don't belong, but in order to leave, I have to stay strong. I'll sneak through the bushes, avoid any mobs, and stay away from those moving green blobs. For the monk and the landshark, I'll remain undetected by being real still and have them misdirected. As I snuck through the trees, one began to move. From his friendly smile, my mood improved. I knew life would reward me for my persistence, as I could see the light in the distance. But as I got closer, things got colder. I thought I felt a hand on my shoulder. The hanging lantern began to grow dimmer as I began hearing things. A cry? A whimper? It sounded like my dog was not dead. Or were those just sounds in my head? I couldn't make sense of what I was hearing, but then I knew when I saw it in the clearing. The most horrific being, a grotesque life form, surrounded by a murderous crow storm. It staggered towards me. My heart nearly ceased. But out of nowhere, it was suppressed by a beast. A werewolf pounced, its claws slashing away. So I took this moment to begin dashing away. Before I knew it, I was safe at home, glued to my lane, deciding never to roam. I urge you the same, and if you ask, what for? It's cause you never know what's in the fog of war.
Nice.
Yeah. So yeah, thanks Speedy Spike for part three. That was a big fan of that. That was good. Hopefully I didn't butcher it too much over the 3 weeks of reading it.
I think you did a great job, at least in the two that I've heard.
Thank you. I've been stealing all of your reading lessons. Sorry, Aiden's reading lessons.
Mm-hmm. I have the comedy ones, and they're very clearly working.
Oh yeah, they're working so well. You're so funny now.
Thank you.
You weren't before.
yeah, I think more multi-part poems would be cool. Do we have any ideas for them?
Not off the top of my head.
Yeah, I know. Sorry.
Rap battles. League of Legends rap battles.
Oh, Jesus. As long as Colton reads every single one.
Nah, Nick, your rap career is not over, bud.
Oh, boy. All right. Thank you, Speedy Spikes. Last email is from Sawyer, who says, "What's up, my dudes? I have a small problem with your tier list. It does not include the champion that single-handedly carried me from high silver to true Elo Hell Plat 4 during the time of this global pandemic. The champion is Janna the Storm's Fury. She absolutely takes a dump on champs like Pyke, Nautilus, Blitzcrank, Leona, and Thresh by denying their ability to engage onto your AD carry harder than a senior citizen's ability to buy the basic necessities at a grocery store in 2020. By taking Comet, Scorch, Mana Flow Band, Ravenous Hunter, and maxing your W first, you're able to trade incredibly efficiently in lane. And by taking Celerity and Relentless Hunter, you're able to dip, dive, and dodge skill shots in lane and zoom on over to the mid lane to tactically secure kills on or to save whatever mid lane is overextending. I hope this email has showed Aiden the error of his ways, and he will make an addendum to add Janna to the list. I attached my OPGG to show what happens when you abuse this champion. Please reconsider. Truly yours, Sawyer." Okay. I mean, that's a pretty good... That's pretty actually nuts. Kind of fucking insane.
I was going to say...
Look at all of his KDAs. Those are all nuts.
I was going to say, just play Yuumi, but you've been playing Yuumi. But I do think Yuumi is like a better version of Janna, to be honest.
Yeah. Yumi's E needs to be fucking hard nerfed, dude.
Yeah.
She heals for like 600.
It's a lot.
It's insane. It's a lot, yeah.
I just feel like they filled the exact same role, except that Janna can be targeted, which I think is a negative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Janna's just the fuck Yuumi of before there was Yuumi.
Yeah.
True. Do you guys remember that, like, oh, God, what was that one? It was, like, how to abuse Elo, and it was just the first time Janna was ever, like, talked about, I guess?
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys... Yeah, I remember. Like, I don't know if you guys remember it, but... Mm-hmm. Damn. Takes me back, dude.
I think she's she's pretty decent right now, and again, like you're saying, she can counter a lot of engage supports if played properly, but she's also very easy to kill, easier than Yuumi, because you can target her. So it's just like, yeah, she's really good against Pyke if she's the one blocking his dash with a Q or just poking him, but also if she gets hooked, just dies.
It's also one of those things where, like, Janna is good at disengaging. Yuumi is good at engaging and disengaging. Like, and it's it's like she's good at both things. She's better at poking. She's better at like heals and not just shields. But I mean, there's definitely a place for Janna, and very obviously it's working for you. But hey, that's up to Aiden. That's his tier list, I think.
Yeah, no, I think Janna's fine. I personally would pick her over.
Yeah, Pog
I think Janna's still, like, I don't know. I think she's like, who are the best enchanters? Probably Yuumi. Then would it be Janna second?
I think there's a lot of room for Lulu.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I feel like Nami used to be like the queen of that, but I feel like Nami's not very good right now. So I'd probably go.
Yeah.
Yuumi,
yeah, Taurig.
You, does Taric count as enchanter?
Taric counts as everything, dude.
Taric is everything.
I'm not counting Taric as enchanters.
Taric is star platinum.
True.
Yuumi, Lulu, then probably Janna, then Soraka, I think.
That's fair. Yeah, I think personally, Lulu just enables hyper carry so fucking hard to just play like chimps. But Yuumi does it a little bit better.
All right, cool. That will do it for this episode of LeagueCast. Thank you all for listening. Oh, I've closed out of the dock prematurely.
Nice. Do you want me to do our plugs?
No, I've got it. I got to get back into the swing of things, right?
I believe in you, Nick.
All right. Follow us on Twitter at LeagueCast and at LeagueCastFrost. On Facebook, we are at LeagueCast. Send us emails, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com. We stream on Twitch, twitch.tv/bluebasket and /kinglardout. Check out our website, leaguecastpodcast.com. If you go to leaguecastpodcast.com/discord or to the homepage, you can join our Discord server. And then finally, support us on Patreon, patreon.com/leaguecast. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.